Welcome to the Kinky Cast, a sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years of age, stop the podcast now. This is episode 148 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. Today, we will be speaking with Colin Browntree of Wasteland, a BDSM site that tests limits. Here's your host, the Beast.
Thank you, Max. We're here today with Colin Browntree, a pioneer of the BDSM film industry. Good morning, Colin.
Good morning, Max.
You run Wasteland.com. What is Wasteland?
Wasteland.com is a BDSM fetish and kinky sex site. My wife and I quite accidentally started it in 1994, mostly as a little experiment with the internet to try to sell like kinky clothing and things like that to get people to actually order a catalog that we would mail to them. And we very quickly discovered a lot of people were really interested in seeing the photos of the pretty girls in leather harnesses and things like that, but nobody was ordering a catalog. So within 6 months, the bandwidth was killing us because it was expensive at that point. Said, okay, well, people want to see the pictures of the girls. Let's put up some kind of a system where we can charge them $10 to do that. And overnight, we made that live on a Friday night. We woke up Saturday morning somewhere in late 1994 to $360 in sales. 36 people.
Overnight for a site that didn't do any promotion that you were rolling out even, did you?
None whatsoever. So that's how it started. Within probably another 6 months or so, well, I decided, well, you know, maybe it's time to play with this a little bit more. So we got some more photos, some bondage and fetish photos, and put them up and went on a limb and upped the price to $50 lifetime. And sales exploded, the perception of value. So that's how Wasteland.com was born. We are, at this point, I do believe, the oldest BDSM premium site on the internet. We were one of the very first porn sites on the internet, and we're still going strong.
22 years later.
That's right.
The community just blossomed in that length of time, hasn't it?
Oh, sure. Sure has. Back in the early days, the BDSM community was pretty much isolated to urban areas for people going to munches and brunches and play parties and things like that. Some of the very early stuff that started to build community were the BBS boards, which that's one of the things that we started in as well. But now it's just completely grown and blossomed. And between sites like ours that are full studios making original movies, and really great community sites, like we've got one called kinkculture.com. To some degree, it's similar to fetlife.com, which many of our listeners will know about. That's not ours. It's John's. We absolutely love FetLife. And, you know, it's just a growing, healthy, respectful community.
Well, Fet has done so much, I think, to help mainstream the lifestyle that it's amazing how many people that didn't even know they were kinky have realized now and taken the kinky label for themselves.
Oh, yeah, they sure have.
Now, tell us about the video production. You do a lot of videos.
Yep, we've got a full studio here in New Hampshire. A little aside on that is there are only two states in the United States where it's constitutionally protected to produce and create pornography. California, obviously, and the other one is New Hampshire. And that's where our studio is, in the lovely Granite State. A little take-home trivia for you there.
Y'all do believe in your personal freedoms up there.
Oh, we sure do. We sure do. Live free or die is on our license plates, which ironically are still stamped out by hand in the penitentiary.
Okay. So videos. When did you put your first video out?
I think our first video we produced was probably around 1997, 98 on some horrible little Sony Handycam or something like that. It was very difficult at that point because the bandwidth just wasn't there to be able to support, you know, much in the way of anything bigger than a 320 by 240 was about as big as you could get for video using the old Real Player platform, which looked like horrible garbage. Once we got to around 2000, bandwidth had increased. We invested in, you know, better cameras. Once you get to probably 2005, you know, the lid just blew off as far as video, and everything really moved very much towards video. And so, you know, we just kept ramping up. We went from, you know, regular SD to HD, and now we're shooting in 4K on RED cameras, which are the same ones that they shot The Martian on.
Wow. So 4K?
Actually, we shoot in 5K. But, you know, once you get over 4K, it's just huge. So these are really big file sizes with unbelievably beautiful, beautiful cinematic look to it. At this point, nobody is able to actually truly deliver 4K over the internet. The bandwidth just isn't there yet. But we shoot in it and then compress it in a 1080p, very, very nice looking HD format, which allows us that we now sit on the archive stuff that we shot in 5K. So once the internet catches up, we can re-release that in glorious 5K.
Are you a videographer by trade?
I'm actually a Broadway and opera director by trade originally, as strange as that may sound. But it goes quite well with getting into making kinky movies and things like that, because it's all about drama. It's all about narrative. It's all about plot lines, stories, setting up arcs in the story. So everything becomes somewhat of a three-act play structure, just like you see in regular movies. So anyway, that was my transition. I came over from stage to film straight into BDSM kinky porn, as strange as that might sound.
You come at this from a truly storytelling aspect instead of just get the goods and go.
Yeah, very much so. You know, we do some kind of rough and tumble gonzo, I guess you could call it, once in a while, because some people really like that. Usually, you know, because we are within the whole BDSM and erotic power exchange structure, it really does lend itself well to telling a story of, you know, what set up the predicament for the girl to get in trouble, and her master is now going to punish her and train her. So yeah, we're very much narrative storytellers, making, you know, what we're quite proud of is real movies.
What brought you into BDSM? Let's go way back when, because I'm sure this thing started in 94 for you personally.
The interesting thing on that is my wife and I at that time, like in 1993, were running a mail order catalog for Celtic and metaphysical jewelry. And we were at the New York gift show, you know, and she was looking for more jewelry to add to the catalog. And I spotted this thing called Babylon Leather. It was a little wholesaler, manufacturer of kinky leather corsets and collars and cuffs and things like that. And so I was talking to the guys because I was just kind of bored. And, you know, we run a mail order catalog. Would you like us to pick you up and we could, you know, produce a catalog with your stuff? And they said, absolutely. I said, do you have photos? And they said, well, sure we do. So he gave me like 36 very, very high res 8x10 glossies of beautiful girls in leather, which we somehow finagled getting scanned by a friend of ours. And that's how Wasteland was born, with those 36 pictures.
You really came at this in your personally at the same time you came into it professionally then.
Yeah, very much so.
You are quite acclaimed. I'm looking at your resume right now. You're in the AVN Hall of Fame.
Yep, AVN Hall of Fame, Founders Division.
For our listeners, the AVN is?
AVN is the Adult Video News. It's the oldest outlet on the internet. It actually goes before the internet. There's a print magazine basically covering, you know, the adult entertainment industry. So in the Hall of Fame, that I share a seat with the likes of Ron Jeremy and Hugh Hefner and all those guys.
That is quite an elite company that you're in.
Well, thank you.
You got the 2015 XBiz Executive Award. What was that all about?
That's XBiz. I'm a community ambassador, XBiz.net, which is their community portion. So it's a very vibrant community, and it's in many ways similar in structure to what AVN does. Very good, solid news coverage, and it's got very much a focus towards community and professional development and things like that. So I was given that award for my leadership over the years you know, and helping people along.
And you said advocate, and you are an advocate for free speech.
Yes, I am.
This is a personal passion of yours, I take it.
It has been for many years.
Besides just for the kink industry.
Oh, yeah, just in general.
Now, I'm looking at your interview list. I couldn't get through all of those interviews in my prep work. Forbes, Washington Post, the Boston Globe, International Business, CNBC, Rolling Stone. Who haven't you talked to on this subject?
Christian Science Monitor.
Are you working on a story for them?
I'm working on that.
So you are the go-to guy for many of these people. What are these stories about that they're doing on you?
Sometimes it's topical and timely, like the current thing with the Prop 60 in California, the whole mandatory condom thing, which is basically a big sham, which people should read up on and be aware of because it will affect everybody in the United States, both consumers and producers. So I'm a go-to guy on things like that. During the days that there was the big fight going on against the .XXX domain going through, I was a go-to guy opposing that. And sometimes it's just something that hits the mainstream news cycle that becomes their kind of clickbait, you know, for places like BuzzFeed and things like that. Like I was riding high for a good 2 years on mainstream media coverage about the whole Fifty Shades of Grey phenomena.
And it was a phenomena, wasn't it?
It was. It's, you know, please don't watch that movie, gentle listeners, and try any of those things at home because it's mostly really bad BDSM, not well executed, with very little safety involved. Like it or love it, the thing really did open up the floodgates for those folks down the middle of the country to say, well, that looks kind of interesting, this whole slap and tickle BDSM stuff. I think I'll explore that. And, you know, we saw an explosion of interest around BDSM and kinky stuff following the release of the book and then later the release of the first movie.
And we got the second movie out here coming along at some point in the future.
It's coming for better or worse.
We will leave the viewers to decide that part for sure. What's the current direction your videos are taking today? Are you're of course, over time we see a shift in what's popular and what's the market and what's the current video market topics today?
We don't do a lot in the way of Femdom Mail Sub, although we do have a site that we operate called FemdomBride.com, which is, you know, got us Starla with various mail subs. And there's the big, huge trend right now in what's called edging. And that's where the Femdom is bringing a man almost to orgasm and then not allowing him to have one. Or ruining it by slapping his penis as he's as he's having an orgasm. So edging right now is a hot thing. On the BDSM regular, you know, male dom fem sub or fem dom fem sub, hot topic at this point is clowns.
You are kidding me about the clowns, right?
Not kidding you at all. It's the number one trending porn thing in the last 60 days.
Oh, wow.
So we've produced a couple of clown porn things with Dick Chibbles, who's a A-list porn actor, and his wife Daisy, and they actually are amateur clowns in their personal life. So we shot a movie with them called The Clown of Her Own. Cosplay, we do quite a bit in science fiction and fembots with a site we've got called SciFiDreamGirls.com, which is takes place in the future about a mad scientist played by Ashley Fiers, who creates a clone of herself as an android and then continues on to make lots and lots of more fembots. So anything in the cosplay realm is quite popular at this point.
That's kind of an Orphan Black scenario there.
Yeah.
That actress must be indeed talented because she's doing double, triple, quadruple duty.
Oh, you betcha. And then, you know, our stock and trade, though, continues to be authentic BDSM. You know, not bringing in porn stars that aren't into BDSM to, you know, beat the girl and make her cry. But actually people who do this as part of their lifestyle. Very much we specialize in real couples that are couples or play partners in their real life. So we get the chemistry and they already know what they like to do together. And that really shines through on video rather than just, you know, casting in through a LA porn agency and hoping for the best. You actually get people that know what they're doing and, you know, and they look like real people. You know, they don't look like airbrush porn stars, which people appreciate.
that sets you apart from kink.com and insects. And
Kink has a very much a wide variety of what they do, and I very much respect and enjoy what Peter Ackworth has done with that. But again, there are a lot of porn stars that are coming in there as part of the circuit. So it's a different kind of thing than what we do. Insects is a whole another ball of wax, which, you know, they've been around forever and are in some ways much harder than what we do. We tend to be a little bit more, you know, cautious and stuff like that. So I'll just leave it at that. Insects is different than we are, just the degree of severity.
For the couples that are beginning to want to explore this, your videos and material are great sources of inspiration for beginning couples. And
yes, they are.
And people wanting to enter this in a more realistic way than the porn acrobatics that some of the venues are providing.
And I think one of the really good things as far as couples just getting into this using Wasteland movies is for ideas and inspiration is everything we do is ethical and safe and sane and consensual. So everything you see in our movies are things that are authentic BDSM done in a safe and consensual manner, which is the whole thing with authentic BDSM. It's not just flog and fuck. It's all about the power dynamic and negotiation and setting up the scenario and, you know, taking the sub to subspace at the end.
Your process, does this involve a lot of scripting, or is this more about improv and setting up the scene for the performers?
The majority of it is improv based off of basically a story arc, but we, in as much as possible, except for special things that we need for like expository dialogue, if it's a feature film, we tend to just talk through, you know, with the couple or with the cast of, okay, here's what needs to happen in this scene and here's where we'd like it to go. And then we'll just block it and walk it through a few times to get them into their bones as far as what they'd like to say. And then we turn the cameras on and roll. And sometimes we'll do the same, you know, segment of a scene, you know, three or four times to get different angles so they can get a chance to act it out a little differently. But, you know, by and large, the improv thing works, and it works for us because we're working with authentic lifestyle people that know exactly what the dynamic is. We don't need to feed them lines for the most part.
And the casting call, how does that work for you? Do you cast openly, or do you have an active recruiting process, or?
A great deal of our casting comes from direct contact. A lot of them are part of the FetLife community, where we have an active area in there where we upload pictures every day and little video clips and try to be helpful people. And we've got a contact thing that a couple in the New England area would like to shoot with us to get a hold of me and, you know, chat it over and see what's going on. So word of mouth, referral, community sites. Once in a while, we'll do something through an agency if it's a large special project, particularly if we're shooting, you know, on the West Coast or something like that, where we don't have the community around us, but that's fairly rare. We also shoot in Montreal periodically throughout the year. And because of the goddess Carla from Femdom Bride, you know, she's got a whole network of kinky people up there that, you know, she can draw upon for casting.
This must be a wonderful life that you're living right now.
Oh, it's awful hard work. The tubes have really taken a vibrant and fun and creative industry and made it really hard. All of the stolen content, all of the free content with no age verification have basically kicked the wind out of the entire adult industry. The performers aren't making as much money. The studios are not filming as much because it's, you know, it's just really hard to monetize content because there's just so much free stolen stuff on the tubes.
Can we say ex-hamster?
Oh, we can say that one and about 12 others that come to mind. As I've got little traffic deals with most of them to supply them with some studio contract. We'll just leave that alone because we've come up with some good truces over the years, you know, because we had to.
Well, sex is such a part of the human condition that it's hard to find the balance point between commercialism and free.
Yeah, yep.
It is that tough because it's part of everybody. What's in the future?
Oh, we're actively filming in virtual reality at this point.
Virtual reality?
Yep, VR. You've probably seen the craze. You strap on a headset and go into 360-degree, look around and see what's happening. So we've shot several at this point, which people are enjoying. You can look at them on your phones. You can actually look at them on an iPad or a desktop without the goggles on. Or if somebody happens to have, you know, an Oculus Rift or a Samsung Gear head rig that'll work on that, just comes in through their iPhone or Android, and they can look around, and it's a whole different filming process because the action needs to move around the entire studio. So it's not like looking at a stage. It's more like you put the audience viewer in the middle of the stage, and they look around at all of the action happening all the way around them.
Including what's going on behind the camera then?
No, we clear the cameras out. It's one camera, 360 degrees, placed in the middle of the room, and then we get the heck out and monitor the whole thing on iPads through Bluetooth monitors of what the camera is doing. Pretty much because we're doing narrative storytelling, again, we'll walk it through, block it through, figure out, you know, what we want to have happen, and then turn it on and hit roll it, and we get the heck out of the room.
Are you naturally a geek, or is this something you've had to learn as part of the business?
I'm the worst geek in the world. I'm a bad geek. I can barely figure out how to use an iPhone.
Oh, wow. And you're surrounded with all of this high-tech stuff. It's amazing.
The learning curve is 24/7.
Oh, wow.
22 years, learn it. I started out, I mean, the end joke on that is because most of my professional life before this was as a musician and conductor. So the thing with musicians and conductors is they can count to 2, 3, 4, and sometimes 6. And beyond that, they're kind of like Luddites that don't have a whole lot of tech skills.
Colin, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule today to share with us the wonders of Wasteland BDSM.
Thank you for having me. I looked forward to hearing the broadcast and tweeting like crazy about it.
We will make you aware of those.
I have now learned how to tweet, sort of.
And the geek continues to grow.
There you go. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Listeners, we've been talking with Colin Roundtree of Wasteland.com. Please check out their website and go to our links page for more other content. Thank you.
You have been listening to episode 148 of the Kinky Cast. For more information about this show, go to kinkycast.com. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of all our kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we hear from Jim Dom. Starting the new year right.